Hello and welcome to the FV English podcast, your one-stop shop for Venezuelan football in English, bringing you fortnightly episodes dedicated to the Venezuelan league, the national teams, and the myriad of Venezuelan players around the world.
Welcome to another episode of the FV English podcast, where I am joined by my usual co-host, Dominic Bassogno, with a late on the day but on time podcast episode this week after a scheduling problem over the past 2 weeks where I was back in England collecting my Venezuelan visa and things were basically too busy. But we're back on track now, making up for it with a bonus episode last week. So you are no short of episodes at all. Dominic, how are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to talking about some football and some good and bad happenings with the Venezuelan teams and the Libertadores and Sudamericana.
Exactly. And that is the topic of our episode tonight. It is a CONMEBOL Libertadores and Sudamericana special, reviewing how the opening four dates have gone with just two rounds of fixtures remaining. Four Venezuelan teams participating in continental football this year, two in Libertadores and two in Sudamericana. And for at least two teams, still every opportunity of progressing. We'll start with Sudamericana and we'll start with Deportivo La Guaira. La Guaira became the first Venezuelan side to have their fate sealed in continental football last night. And unfortunately, it was to the negative. A 3-0 loss to Brazilian side Sierra made it mathematically impossible for them to advance from Group G, and progression from the group stages is frankly a near on impossibility now for Venezuelan teams, because only one team from each group does go through, and 40% of all the teams in the group stages are from either Brazil or Argentina alone. And Deportivo La Guaira had the unfortunate lottery, if you like, of drawing a country from each one of those countries. Dominic, how has La Guaira's campaign gone to date?
Well, to be perfectly frank, it's gone quite poorly. And for a while, it was kind of parallel to a pretty good domestic run from La Guaira. Of course, now their domestic form has dropped and sort of matched more their continental form. It hasn't been what I think a lot of people hoped. The squad, even with all the moves in the offseason, looked pretty strong, had some good domestic results, a lot of experience in the back half, a lot of exciting youth in the front half. But it just hasn't quite worked out for them in any of their games, home or away. And unfortunately, like last night, there's been some matches that were relatively even, perhaps La Guaira slightly outmatched. But by the end, they've just kind of let the other team pile in the goals. And it's been, I think, a little disappointing. I think it's been good exposure for some of the young talents on the team. But I think it's fair to say everyone should be a little let down by the way it's gone.
Yeah, and for those who haven't seen the table, as it stands, Deportivo La Guaira are in third place with 1 point from a possible 12. The table was topped by Sierra, have 12 out of 12 points. Four wins from four and only the one goal conceded. In second is Argentinian giants Independiente, and bottom of the group are General Caballero, who are on the same amount of points as La Guaira but have a goal difference worse by one. And those two will face each other in one of the two remaining games. And Dominic, you touched upon how La Guaira started with good league form, and actually, in my notes for tonight, and I was contemplating on tweeting it out, because it's the kind of little tidbit, even though it's negative, I enjoy finding and research. But in the first six games of the league campaign, as you full well know, La Guaira were not only unbeaten, winning four of them, but they only conceded twice, and neither of those goals were from open play, both were penalties. Then they had their first Sudamericana game, and this is where you and I spoke about the implications of qualifying for the group stage in our season preview. The first Sudamericana game was on April the 6th, and they haven't won in the league since that day, nor obviously in Sudamericana. And they conceded three goals in each of their four league games preceding today, the first time in their history. But what I was wondering in our preseason preview was how rotation, having to rotate would affect the league form, but rather it wasn't really that that's taken a negative effect on league form. It was more that the halting of the winning momentum that the Sudamericana forced upon Aguirre, which I think probably had a bigger impact on their league form.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think there's been as much rotation as one might have expected. A lot of these games, even days apart in both competitions, we're seeing very similar lineups, if not identical lineups. But no, yeah, I mean, as you point out, clearly as soon as they got in, and for what it's worth, I think this is something we kind of talked about could have affected literally all the Venezuelan teams that were eligible for the Sudamericana this year. But clearly, as soon as they got into those matches, a heavier schedule, perhaps facing, you know, better opposition in some weeks, certainly last night, they just don't have the consistency, the quality to find results. And, you know, it's interesting because goal scoring wise, I actually think they've more or less been the same since day one this season. They've been pretty good up front. They've put on goals against some pretty good sides, and it's helped them get draws that are keeping them high on the table. But their defensive record is really what has fallen apart, in my opinion. You know, you mentioned the two goals not from open play and so on in the first six games. Now, I mean, it's regularly we're seeing like 2-2, 3-3 draws from La Guaira. They're scoring plenty of goals still, but just defensively, there's no consistency. There's just not really quality. One against these bigger oppositions from bigger teams from Argentina and Brazil, but also from like mid-table Liga Footvey sides. So it's a weird transformation they've undergone. And yeah, I mean, I agree. Long story short, I agree with your point that the continental competition clearly revealed something about them that everyone is taking advantage of right now.
Yeah, and curiously, one, not victim, but one mainstay is the accurate word of April for Deportivo La Guaira, be it league or Copa Sudamericana, was Alex Flores, their veteran defense midfielder, would be like. He played 8 games in April. That's literally two games a week. You know, top European sides are used to that with Champions League and jam-packed schedules, but that is intense. And particularly when you're not playing on the best of pitches week in, week out. But Flores had a great month. He was in our he was in our team of the month. He was also in our goal of the month. He scored 3 goals in like 5 weeks now, whereas he'd scored 3 goals in maybe 5 years previous. So he's hit a nice run of form. But away from Deportivo La Guaira and into Venezuela's second Copa Sudamericana team, Metropolitanos, who, as we're recording, we've just witnessed them lose 1-0 to Montevideo Wanderers of Uruguay. Also a capital-based club, fared marginally better. Metropolitanos went into tonight's game in third place and with 2 points hosting fourth place Wanderers on 1 point. With Barcelona of Ecuador 4 points ahead and therefore uncatchable on the night, it was more of a case of fighting to stay off the bottom. A credible achievement for a Venezuelan club, especially when the other participant in the group is Lanús. They got a 0-0 draw against in the opening day of the competition. Unfortunately, as I said in the preamble for this, they did suffer defeat tonight. So they go into the final two group games bottom on 2 points. Dominic, aside from tonight, Metropolitanos in the Copa Sudamericana, although winless, have far from disappointed.
Yeah, I do think there's, while from a broad sense, their form, like Guaira's form, would seem similar, it is quite different. One, there's just the fact they have more points, one more point. But really, all their matches, even their losses, have been tight matches, 1-0 losses, that sort of thing. They've been quite competitive and just haven't quite been able to get over the line in any of those matches in terms of finding a win. I mean, they opened their campaign with a solid 0-0 draw with Lanús, which is, in the end, it didn't necessarily end up being what they needed, but at the moment, it was, you know, impressive. They've been good to watch in this competition. They've been competitive, but they haven't had quite the quality. And the other thing that Metro probably gets some credit for that La Guaira can't quite say is, even while they've been balancing these two competitions, they've actually been quite strong still in the league. So overall, the competition, the multiple competitions seem to be affecting them less. They're finding results far more often than La Guaira is, including victories, albeit not in the Sudamericana. But yeah, I wouldn't describe their performance necessarily as disappointing. I would say it was unlucky at times, showed quality at times, but maybe didn't show quality when it was needed to mount a real challenge for that top spot.
Yeah, and what Metropolitanos have achieved, achieved is the right word despite being bottom, is also defined by fine margins. They in four games have only conceded three goals. Only Lanús at the top with one conceded have conceded less. And all their games have been fine margins, 0-0s or 1-0 losses. And I think their 1-0 loss away to Barcelona of Ecuador illustrated it perfectly. They outshot the opponents. They had 18 shots to 14. They outpossessed them 63 to 37. And their on the ball had more possession in the attacking final third. And then tonight, when that goes without saying, Robinson Flores put it on a plate for Walter Araujo, I believe, at the back post in the final few minutes against Barcelona. Had that gone in, completely different story. And then tonight, very similarly, Christian Larrotonda comes down the left, bundles his way into the box and puts on a plate for Charlie Sortis. Would have been the easiest goal in the world for him to score, and the defenders just nipped in and taken it off of his toes. I don't think we can say the same about Laguira's campaign being defined by those fine margins. Metropolitanos, you know, with different luck, with different rub of the green, could be looking very different in a group that is fairly, fairly close. But you touched upon it. It's not really affected their league form. It hasn't affected their league form in a negative way at all. In stark contrast to Laguira, they've climbed the table. They're actually now 1 point above Laguira. They've gone into second, Laguira now in third. And they're just 3 points off of league leaders Monagas. It's been hugely impressive. And I think a lot of that has been down to their defensive organization.
Yeah, absolutely. They continue to show a lot of quality in the midfield and the back line. Schiavone, as goalkeeper as well, has done very well. They this isn't new necessarily. You know, I think last year this was something the team was identified with, but they're continuing to show that defensive skill, organization, maturity that you need to accumulate points. And I mean, whatever, you know, bad luck they may have had in the Sudamericana, at the very least at the domestic level, they're proving extremely competitive. They are the best performing side from the capital right now, which I'm sure they enjoy being given the competition on that list. So at the end of the day, they've gotten a okay series of results in the Sudamericana, a competition that they're still newish to, you know, second year in. And they seem, at least at the start of this season, like they'll probably get themselves into a qualifier for something for next year. Yeah. And I think for a club that young and that is still developing the way Metro is in terms of support, in terms of, you know, what is this team? What is it as an organization outside the pitch? I think all of those things are probably more than good enough for them to feel like they're headed in a positive direction. Obviously, a lot of games left in the league, so who knows how things look at the end. But, you know, again, going off of what we have, they surely finished in the top half. They surely put themselves in position to at least be in arm's reach of qualifying for something. Maybe the Sudamericana again, maybe better. And for a team in their position, they should be extremely happy about that.
Yeah, and they've remained one of my, from last season into this season, remained one of my favorite Liga football teams to watch. Jose Maria Mora has not just evolved them, but he's also had to, you know, deal with changes and big changes like losing Abraham Bahaji, this off-season, losing Dani Perez the off-season before, yet they continue to, in my opinion, strengthen. Not just adapt, but strengthen. So into the Copa Libertadores, where Venezuela are being represented by 2021 league champions Deportivo Táchira and runners-up Caracas Football Club. It's a group, if we start with Deportivo Táchira, it's a group unsurprisingly dominated by current Libertadores champions Palmeiras, who have now won it for two consecutive years. They won all four of their games, scoring 20 goals in the process. That's, you know, averaging 5 goals a game. And they've conceded just twice. The rest of the group, however, is separated by just 4 points. And Táchira missed a glorious opportunity to head into the final two games in second place this week. Dominic, I was at the Caracas game. You were watching the Deportivo Táchira game at home. What went wrong?
You know, this game right away started with a problem that Tatarev had to deal with almost every match of their Libertadores run this year, which is the way they start. I believe this would be the third game in this campaign for them, the third Libertadores game, where they conceded in the first 10 minutes. Two of those games were at home. So there's a lot to say about what went wrong yesterday for them, but for me, the obvious is just this team continues in these big games to not be ready when they need to be. They are starting slow, they're starting sloppy, and both games against Amalek, conceding right away. It's a little inexcusable, especially as a home side, to concede twice in this case so early in the game. In the off season, the storyline of this team was all the attackers they signed, and one could argue that that didn't quite pay off either. But I do think that the other criticism that people made has proven true, which is that they perhaps should have paid more attention to the back half of the pitch, because when they're playing high level sides, certainly in Libertadores, and you could argue even in domestic play, they just aren't defending very well. I don't really know how else to put it, but they don't really defend very well. All the goals against Emelec were not moments of brilliance from Emelec. They were sloppy defending on set pieces. They were sloppy offside traps. They were conceding literally like 10 seconds after Tachira made a double substitution to change the game, which I'm not sure the last time I saw that. That's a really strange way for momentum to swing around. It's very strange. It's very strange. The way they're managing games, particularly in Libertadores right now, and it has impacted their league form a little bit, but maybe less so than like Guaira. But it was a little bit of a bizarre match. Their previous match had gone quite well on the road in Bolivia, and I think there was a lot of positivity there. Like you said, if they had won this match or even drew this match, it would have left a lot of possibilities for them in this group. The fact that they lost it the way they did means that they will basically have to just hope for third, assume that they beat Independiente Petro at home. Hope they win that game, and then I guess hope that Palmeiras don't bruise them too badly on the road, and they'll probably get third. They'll probably get Sudamericana, but that's not what they should have been aiming for. I mean, again, the roster they built this offseason, clearly they were thinking that they could put something together to go further. The fact that they haven't is truly on them, because this game shouldn't have been lost. But when you allow the other side to just casually score two goals in the first 15 minutes, I mean, I don't know what else you can expect. So really disappointing, I think, defensive performances from them through this run, and perhaps not getting the goals that you would expect from all the offseason action. But for me, the real concern is the defense.
Yeah, and they were, as you said, at home to Emelec. But going into the game, Emelec were third on 2 points, Emelec were third on 2 points. Deportivo Táchira were second on 4 points. You know, a draw would have kept Táchira 2 points ahead of Emelec and 2 points safe in second. And a win would have extended that gap to five with only 6 points left to play for. So it has really swung the dynamics of that group. Obviously, just a point left in it. Emelec and Deportivo Táchira are both playing the same teams with the same home-away dynamics. Both teams are hosting the Bolivians and then traveling away to play Palmeiras of Brazil. The only difference is Emelec play Palmeiras first and finish hosting the Bolivians, Deportivo Táchira the other way around. Well, third place finish, as you said, will put them into Sudamericana. That's probably the likely minimum. And that's what, you know, Deportivo Táchira last season were so strong at home. In the Copa Libertadores, they won all three of their home games, whereas they've all, you know, already had two. And last night, that was just not the case at all. Obviously, there's a change of manager with Alex Payeres and a change of system. And as you say, their league form has suffered a little bit as well. But Deportivo Táchira find themselves in the same position that Caracas find themselves in the group, in third. That group looks vastly different because of how tight it is. Libertad top on seven and Paranaense are bottom on four. So only 3 points is in that group, which means one match day can change everything. So it's a much harder narrative to predict. As it goes, let's talk about last night's win over Libertad. The Paraguayan table toppers, who have only lost one game in the league after 13 games, 10 of which were wins. And although I'm sure he's going to be a great player, Julio Enciso, their 18-year-old striker, who has 11 goals in league football so far, was kept quiet by Kaki Rivero and Diego Osio. I say Diego Osio because captain Rupert Quijada went off injured around 30 minutes in. Osio had the bulk of the game. It was an impressive performance for Caracas in possession and in attack for the first 50-55 minutes of the game, at which point Samson Akinyula scored his second goal of this Copa Libertadores campaign, give Caracas a 1-0 lead, and the dynamics then shifted on the flip of a coin. It then became defence versus attack the other way, and to Caracas's exceeding credit, held, like I said, the Paraguayan tabletoppers out the remaining 30-35 minutes. No shortage of thanks has to go to Alain Baroja as well. He has been stellar for Caracas, not just in Copa Libertadores, but the league. A number of fine saves. SofaScore had him in their April team of the month for the whole of South America. He's already picked up a team of the week inclusion from SofaScore as well in the Copa Libertadores. But he made some real fine saves. And at 0-0 in the first half, to Caracas's credit, Ossie Bonsu have opened the scoring, far before Akinyola did, hitting the woodwork. It was a very exciting game for me to see as my first Copa Libertadores game live in the flesh. And the atmosphere was incredible in the home end. I'd say there was probably, I'm not best at judging crowd numbers by the eye, but I'd say there was probably maybe 500 fans in the hardcore end, creating a hell of a lot of noise that I think came through on the television broadcast. It leaves things really exciting for their next game. Their last two games are strongest of Bolivia at home before ending that campaign, like Deportivo Táchira, away in Brazil. That final round means Libertad, top of Paraguay's league table, hosts the strongest, top of Bolivia's table. And it means that if Caracas win that home game against the strongest, they will go to at least second place on 8 points, potentially top, knowing that if then Libertad, the strongest in Paraguay in the final game, Caracas are through to the last 16. Do you think that's going to happen?
I think there's a great chance. I think that Akinyola is sort of finding his momentum in the Libertadores at the right time. I think that as you already said, their performance against Libertad was extremely impressive. Really showed improvements from the issues that may have been pointed out against the strongest on the road. Looked like an improved side, paired in general with improvement on the league form as well, more or less. I think that this team is finding its form at the right enough time that they can get a result against the strongest and more or less put themselves where they need to be. Like you said, that might need some help from other parts of the table, but I wouldn't be surprised if that help comes. I think Libertad are showing enough quality, maybe not on this night, but overall that we can expect them to continue to win or draw most of their games than not. I think this is just like, it's unfortunate that Caracas and Táchira basically had this thing where when one does well in the Libertadores one week, the other has to do badly. And so there's kind of been a back and forth between them switching who does well this week. But it's exciting to have at least one of them be in a good sort of pole position to get something out of this campaign. And I would have some confidence that Caracas are finding enough form on the attack, enough form in the defense at the right time that they can take advantage of it and get what both clubs really, really, really wanted, which is to get into those knockout stages and make the most of whatever comes after that. But getting on the group stage is obviously a huge achievement for anybody in such a tough competition, certainly in a tough group. And I think that again, with Akinyola kind of finding his feet again this season now, Baroja deciding to make some crazy saves, You know, I think that they're finding enough at the right moment to do something.
And with Caracas in their group, although obviously we're a football podcast, just to touch on Atletico Paranaense, I think that they've been the surprise of the group in terms of how, you know, they've not performed. This is a, you know, not only a Brazilian team that we would expect to do well against Paraguayan, Bolivian, Venezuelan opposition, but you know, the current holders of the Copa Sudamericana, like they were the, you know, the best team in South America's second biggest continental competition. Yet they've only scored one goal in their opening four games, which was a 1-0 and only a 1-0 home win against Bolivia's the strongest. And you know, we come to expect Bolivian teams, sort of similar to the national team, to do very well at home and not so well away. Yet last night, some of the talk at full time in El Olimpico wasn't just about Caracas's great win, but also about the fact that the strongest had beat Paranaense 5-0, which, like I said, is just makes this group so tight, just 3 points from top to bottom, and just leaves, although I think it is in favour of Caracas, leaves that group very hard to predict. So what do you predict? Do you see Caracas getting to, in just one line, Caracas through the round of 16, or Caracas into the Sudamericana?
I think that Libertad and Caracas make it through. I think those are the teams that are showing the best quality at the right moments. Yeah, Paranaense are, I don't know what to make of what's going on with them. It's a little bizarre. I know it's hard to play in Bolivia, but I don't know if it's that hard to play in Bolivia, but you know, that they just haven't been, I mean, they obviously started their run with a 0-0 draw with Caracas as well. They just haven't been performing very well. They haven't been living up to the expectations of Brazilian teams in these competitions at all. And that's all the better for teams from smaller nations. So, I mean, Caracas and Libertad are clearly taking advantage of that. And yeah, my expectation, my prediction would be that the two of them continue to do so and make the next stage.
And to Caracas's credit, they went to La Paz and got a 1-1 draw against the strongest just last week. Not only that, they got their equaliser in the 83rd minute. So, you know, obviously, we speak about this off the podcast, don't want to get into the whole altitude narrative, but to get an equaliser in the 83rd minute when you're 1-0 down as the away team is definitely admirable. And another interesting element to that game that Kaki Rivero said to us in an interview at the weekend is, aside from the altitude, that was a 10 p.m. local time kickoff. So, you know, that's a game finishing at midnight and then Caracas having to travel back to Venezuela waiting for flights, etc. And then play Monagas at the weekend, the table toppers, get a 2-2 draw. Then again, 3 days later, play the Paraguayan league leaders and get a 1-0 win. Is, considering how poorly Caracas started the season, because I think it is fair to say they started poorly, that is a good 8 days.
Oh, absolutely. That's a wonderful 8 days. That's an 8 days they would have given anything for when the season started, but... But again, you know, at a certain point, most teams are going to have rough periods. What usually ends up mattering, even at the highest levels, is finding the right time to have a good time. And I think that's what they're doing. I think they're more or less finding their league form, some results aside, at the right time to start to climb up the table. And the same thing with the Libertadores. They're finding goals at the right time, finding clean sheets at the right time to take advantage of certain teams not performing well enough and setting up, you know, look, if they made the Sudamericana, if it doesn't work out against the strongest and they make the Sudamericana instead, I don't think that's a horrible thing. But clearly they want to make the Libertadores knockout stage. I think that's in their hands. I think that's something they're capable of. And I would expect them to do so. And the fact that it might not work out for Táchira, by the way, all the more reason for them to want to have it work out for them and be Venezuela's representative in that next stage alone. I have a fair bit of faith in their ability to do so. So we'll see.
But in your answer, does that mean your prediction for Deportivo Táchira is a third place finish and into the Sudamericana?
Yeah. Yes. I think that they'll win their next game. But I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Emelec is in enough of a good position to fight them off, with just having to basically copy the same results as them.
Yeah.
No. This Táchira side, unfortunately, has not shown enough quality where it would need to have it to, for me to have any faith in them having a strong result on the road against Palmeiras. And unless they do that, there's no way for, in my eyes, for them to make a climb up the table again. So, I would predict that they finish third.
And to hop back into Sudamericana, although there's no qualification to play for anymore with two games left for both La Guaira and Metropolitanos, you see either of them picking up a win in one of their final two games. Deportivo La Guaira, just to recap, are in third, 1 point, but with a slightly better goal difference in General Caballero, who they have to play at home. And in Metro's group, they are bottom, 2 points behind Wanderers, with Lanús away and Barcelona of Ecuador at home.
You know, I think Metro might be able to make something happen against Barcelona, and I think that La Guaira might be able to beat General, but like you said, there's not necessarily anything to play for. It would be more pride points and you know, points for those players internally to have about their performances. I think both teams have enough quality to get a point or three from the games they have left, but I don't expect them to do any sort of shock results. I wouldn't expect them to sort of coup their way up the table and disrupt the way the groups are going. I think both their groups are more or less kind of set into their ways at this point. I would like to see La Guaira and Metro take advantage of the opportunity still to play a lot of their players that need that exposure. La Guaira particularly have, you know, their entire front line is basically young guys who are still trying to make an identity in the game. I would like to see them get some goals, Bolivar particularly, and continue to build that resume. I think that'd be great for them personally, but yeah, again, I especially with La Guaira's league form struggle tumbling a bit, I would expect both sides to maybe perhaps start to redirect a little bit in making sure that their league form stays as positive as possible, and maybe focus a little bit less on getting points on the road, for instance, in the Sudamericana.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree, but what for me, I think perhaps the most interesting fixture of the four remaining over the course of both Venezuelan teams is Metro hosting Barcelona in the next round of fixtures, because as it stands, the top of the group is Lanús on 7, Barcelona in second on 6 points. They're currently playing at the moment, 30 minutes in, it's 0-0. You know, if Lanús win tonight, they go 4 points clear. Which means Barcelona would have to get a win, and then it's still out of their hands, but would have to get a win to have any chance of still progressing. So Metro's best chance of winning, hosting a team in their own ground that they did quite well against away, is going to have such importance for the opposition, but that home advantage might erode entirely. It's a game that I'm certainly looking forward to watching live in the flesh, to take in for an opposition in Barcelona, and to see Metropolitanos live is something I always enjoy. Nick, as always, it's been a pleasure to have you with me hosting the podcast, and thank you very much for listening. And again, Dominic, thank you for co-hosting with me. This has been the Football English Podcast. I've been Jordan, Dom's been Dom.